Let's take our Bibles and go to Gospel of John, chapter 8. This is an interesting section of Scripture. And quite often the devil will put you in a situation and he'll give you two choices, and neither choice is any good. And if you ever study logic, there's a thing in logic called a Hobson's choice, where neither choice is any good. It's sort of like the abortion issue. One side, you got the pro-abortion people, and they have rallies and they pray to Satan, and they in their clinics, they'll kill babies that are born alive, they'll kill them. And so I don't want to be on that side of the issue. And then the other side, you've got people that want to make where they declare that you're a human being at the moment of conception, and then you have to investigate every miscarriage as a potential murder. And it's like, I don't want to be on either side of that issue. That's just, and here, the devil did that to Jesus Christ. Let's start in verse 2 here. But he was back in the town. I'm reading from the Message, so it'll be a little different than your King James. But soon he was back in the temple again. Swarms of people came to him. He sat down and taught them. The religious scholars and the Pharisees, it's interesting. Speaking of choices, quite often, the world will try to get you to choose between what some crazy scientist says is true or what some crazy religious leader says is true. A lot of people, their interpretation of the Bible is based on what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. And even a lot of Protestants and people that aren't Catholic will still teach a lot of the Catholic doctrines. Again, he puts you in a place between you choose one thing wrong and another thing wrong. And it's interesting, like they'll make comments like, oh, the science is settled. Well, there's never been any time in the history of man where you can't go 100 years in the past and think, oh my God, they believed all these stupid things were scientifically true. It's like people used to think the earth was flat. They used to say all sorts of stupid things about dinosaurs that they now know is not true. It's basically, it goes on and on and on. Like the ancient Romans, we all know flea. Well, the word flea means out of the dust. They used to think that fleas would spontaneously generate out of dust. They didn't know that they laid eggs and they had a life cycle and all this sort of thing. And the ancient Greeks, they're the fathers of our modern medicine. They didn't know what the brain was. They used to think the brain was an organ to cool blood. Well, maybe some people it is. And so anyway, you see these religious leaders coming in and they let in a woman. So right away, they're not up to any good. You know they don't have this woman's best interest at heart. Who had been caught in the act of adultery. And of course, my question always whenever I see this is, well, she was caught in the act. Where was the guy?
The setup.
Yeah, where was the guy? You know, why didn't they bring him over to the, you know, it takes two to do adultery. It's kind of hard to do adultery.
He's probably a Pharisee.
Probably one of them.
It was a setup.
Yeah. And they stood her in plain sight of everyone and said, Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Again, where's the guy? Mm-hmm. Moses in the law gives orders to stone such persons. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something incriminating so they could bring charges against him. That's what was going on here. See, basically they knew, okay, if he says stoner, then he'll look like he's a mean religious person like us and the people will quit following him. Or if he says, well, I forgive you, then, you know, he's breaking the law and we can get charges on him. So no matter, he's, you know, damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. And he had no good choice here. So, verse 6, Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. And they kept badgering him. And he straightened up and said, this is a little different than your King James here. The sinless one among you, go first, throw the stone. Bending down again, he wrote some more in the dirt. And hearing that, they walked away, one after another, beginning with the oldest. And the woman was left alone, and Jesus stood up and spoke to her and said, woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you? She goes, no one, Master. He says, neither do I. Actually, in the Old Testament, you couldn't stone somebody for adultery unless there was an accuser. And so Jesus Christ outsmarted them, because they put him in a position where he had no good choice and no way, no matter what he said, it would come out wrong. And he figured out a way to put it back on them. He put them in the position where they, no matter what they did, it'd come out wrong. And so they just walked away. So he said, well, neither do I. Go your way from now on. Sin all you want. No, don't sin. And so let's skip on to chapter 9. Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples said, Rabbi, who sinned? I'm in verse 1, by the way. It's in verse 1 here. He said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind? Now, where did they get that from? It doesn't say in the Bible that if you sin, you'll be born blind, or if your parents sin, you'll be born blind. Well, wait a minute. How can you be born blind and based on your sin? Exactly. The evil religious leaders were teaching reincarnation. And they see these guys, they had that. That's why when we look at the Bible, we have to train our minds to look at the Bible for what it says, not look at it through the lens of the Roman Catholic Church or some atheist scientist. We need to look at it for what it is. In verse 3, Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. When the night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, there is plenty of light. I am the world's light. And then he goes through the thing here where he put a little mud on his eye.
Still.
Yep. And he went and washed in the pool of Siloam, and he came seeing. And those Pharisees, the same guys, they're still hanging around. You know, they kind of backed off when they... Because you got to remember this... Sometimes we look at these chapters in the Bible and we think, well, chapter 8 happened one day and this chapter 9 must have been like a week later, and then chapter 10, like, you know, maybe a month later. Well, actually 8, 9, and 10 here, this is all kind of sequentially all happened, just like bang, bang, bang. So those guys are still around hassling them. First he deals with a woman, you know, gets her delivered. Then he deals with the guy here that's born blind. He gets him delivered. And these guys are still here hassling him, and they're hassling the guy. So, wait a minute, how'd you get healed? And they took it to the parents. Well, at first they asked the guy, and the guy didn't even know it was the Messiah. He just figured, well, it must be a prophet, because he healed me. And then they asked his parents, and his parents knew, but they were afraid to say, because they knew they'd get in trouble with the synagogue and the religious leaders. So they didn't say, and then, so they took it back to the guy, and he says, well, you know, tell us again how it happened. He says, well, I already told you once. If I told you again, would you be his disciple? And he said, oh, we're Moses' disciple. You're you're his disciple. They got all mad about it. And then they finally cast the guy out. Let's go to verse 30. And the man replied, "This is amazing." This is the guy that got healed. "You claim to know nothing about him, but the fact is, he opened my eyes. Well, it is known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners." In other words, sinners don't create miracles, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does his will. That someone opened the eyes of a man born blind has never been heard of, if ever. If this man didn't come from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. They said, "You're nothing but dirt. How dare you take that tone with us?" See, that's another thing, is a lot of times the religious leaders, see it with politicians too, they think they're better than other people. You know, if you want to be better than somebody else, become a servant. That's how you become better than somebody else. Serve your fellow man. Help people out. That's what's better. Beating people over the head with religious doctrine doesn't make you better. It makes you worse. And so they threw him out on the street. And Jesus heard they had thrown him out, and he went and found him. Some translations will say he had compassion on him. He says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" I think that should be translated "the Son of God." This translation, the Message, is good sometimes, not so good other times. And the man said, point him out to me, sir, that I may believe on him." And Jesus said, "You're looking right at him, and you don't you recognize my voice? Master, I believe." And the man said and worshiped him. And Jesus said, "I came into the world to bring everything into clear light of day, to make distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and that those who have great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." And some of the Pharisees overheard him and said, "Does that mean you're calling us blind? You're calling us names? You're offending us." Jesus said, "If you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure." And then verse 10, chapter 10, verse 1, this follows right along the same context. And he says, "Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over a fence, through a fence of the sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. A sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow him because they are familiar with his voice. And they won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it." And Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. See, one of the great ways to teach, and you see it in the Bible a lot, is stories. And like when we were kids, sometimes we're taught fables or nursery rhymes. And the actual thing may not have actually happened, but there's a truth behind it. And so Jesus Christ is using this parable to teach them. So he tried again. "I'll be explicit then. I am the gate of the sheep. All those others are up to no good." Now, who's he talking about? These religious leaders that have been dogging him the last two or three chapters here. "They're sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep don't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. and freely go in and out and find pasture. The thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they will have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I think I'll stop there, but it's just a great section of scripture. And it just shows how the devil's always trying to get us to limit our choices, that we choose incorrectly. But we can choose to have a life that's more than abundant with God. We can choose to walk with God. You know, it's a day in and day out choice. I remember one time years ago, one of the first times we went out to eat, and you were talking about making good choices when we go to eat. And sometimes you place your eat, your choices are limited. You know, sometimes you got to find a better restaurant. And some places have better choices than others. But, you know, God will, and sometimes, you know, you have to put yourself in another situation where there is another choice. Or God will show you, well, do we stone her or just let her sin? Well, there's another choice. Go and sin no more. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for just always taking care of us. Thank you for blessing the food that we're going to have and the fellowship we can have while we eat together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.